Tonight on the Goblin's Corner,
Mage Guilds.
That's how we roll.
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 Welcome to the Goblin's Corner. My name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
And tonight,
we're doing Mage Guilds, man.
Absolutely. There's nothing better than just a nice set of jovial folks that are flying around, casting fireballs, and just messing shit up.
Sure.
And we are going to give that to you tonight. There was a lot of good stuff with criminal organizations.
And people seem to like that, so...
So why not do something with...
Magical organizations.
Yeah, wizards, warlocks, sorcerers, and artificers, whatever it happens to be, spell slingers,
yeah,
wage mages.
Absolutely.
I mean, it could be all these things.
It is.
So we're going to talk about mage guilds tonight, but before we get to that...
We've got our question of the week.
Absolutely. So hit me up. What do you got for me?
I'm going on brand today. We're going to stick with the theme.
Okay.
And the theme is you.
Me.
Are building a mage guild.
I'm building a mage guild.
Yeah. What's the name of it? What's your branding?
My name of it and my branding. So yeah, like,
you know, uniforms, colors, badges.
Whether it's got like a funky hat.
Yeah.
That's a good question. The name is going to be the... Hurried Handshake.
All right.
The Society of the Hurried Handshake. That's going to be my mage guild. And I'm going to say that they're going to go with some sort of purplish motif. So, you know what? We'll go slightly old school, but we're going to give it a little bit of a modern spin. So I'm going to say purple robes, but they're going to be cut with inlay, maybe some leather strips going down.
Okay.
More of like a cloak or a duster. Than that. And maybe let them throw some armor or something like that, or even just a cool t-shirt underneath the mage robes. Instead of a standard issue pointy wizard hat, I'm going to go with a fedora.
I can see that. So
little stars and moons on it or something like that?
No, you got to do the color band. Put the stars and moons on that.
Oh, yeah. Maybe a frog, like a golden frog.
Sure.
Or
I don't
a flying turtle. A flying turtle. That's what we're going to have.
Okay.
We're going to have a flying turtle on that.
That's your badge?
That's my badge.
All right.
I love everything about the flying turtle.
Okay.
I mean, who doesn't love everything about the flying turtle?
Absolutely. Well, Mario or Luigi.
It's, so what? So, yeah, that's going to be my mage guild, and they're going to be based out of Flying Citadel, of course, because they should.
Okay.
What about you?
I'm going to go with the Utopian Society.
The Utopian Society. So I'm seeing lots of grandiose columns, lots of...
Nah, man, no? this is for making the world a better place.
Okay.
So, you know, better living through magic. Like, I feel like in a lot of settings, a lot of normal people do a whole lot of work that is completely unnecessary when you've got people around that could literally do it by waving their hand.
Are you talking magical janitors?
Sure.
Magical people who work on your internet connection? Because we need some of that.
Oh, that would be dope. Yeah. I'm with that.
I want an internet connection wizard.
An unseen servant with just enough brains to follow connections to make sure everything's clean.
Oh, like a net admin? Yeah, absolutely. That would be cool. I like that idea as well. Okay, so what kind of funky robes do you have? Or do you have robes?
I think we're going to be in workwear mostly. Like, oh, maybe, you know, some loose fitting pants or shorts if you are of that.
You
got to
do the magical overalls?
No.
I could see a wizard in overalls.
A kilt, if you like, you know, I'm fine with that.
Utilikilt would be great.
Yeah, you got to have pockets.
You got to have pockets.
And a sporran for extra pockets.
A what?
A sporran?
I don't know.
The belt pouch.
The fanny pack.
it's more of a cod piece, but.
Yeah, it's kind of a fanny pack, though. It's a cod pack. How about that?
Okay.
We'll go halfway.
Yeah,
it's a cod pack.
It's cod pack.
Cod pack.
So
we've now marketed that. Hashtag cod pack.
There we go.
Yeah.
We'll post that first thing in the morning
t-shirt
and people
right
will
up
just
there
be like, what?
Be another t-shirt right up there with Mealtime Cult.
Yeah. It'll literally just have like a sporin on it.
Mm-hmm. And
hashtag cod pack. Okay. But maybe like a Turkish vest. You know what I'm talking about? Like the sleeveless long vest.
Like Aladdin?
No. But it's long. It's no sleeves, but it's cut longer than that.
Oh, okay. So like has coattails or something like that in the front and the back.
Yeah.
Okay. I could see that.
Yep.
What colors? Green?
Green and gray, man.
Yeah.
You know.
Standard issue colors
it's
there,
me.
Man.
Yeah.
Where would they reside in?
I think probably just like outposts, right? Like a whole bunch of places that are near border towns or frontier towns, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got teleportation circles or, you know, places for flying mounts to land, things like that, depending on what setting you're in, obviously.
I'm down with that.
And yeah, it's planting season. No problem. Everybody out of the way. Earthquake. Guess what? Everything's plowed.
Everything's tilled. Move earth. Stone shape. Got some walls.
Yep. For you, you have to have...
Bring in the druids, man. They're going to garden the hell out of this place.
Yeah, you've got to have, as an arcane caster, one of your cantrips has to be move earth or mold earth.
I can see that.
Yeah. So you can just get some work in.
So you've basically got a magical society of public works.
Yeah.
Do you have a mage guild that you would like to share with us? Write to us, info@goblinscorner.com, or you can reach me, Eric@goblinscorner.com, or
me, Matt@goblinscorner.com.
And of course, you can find us on all the things, all of them,
all of them.
Every single one of them.
Yep.
All right. So we've diverged enough, I think, to start talking about mage guilds. And it should be noted that there's not just a particular spell slinging type, that this encompasses all spell slinging types. So depending upon the game you're playing, whether it's D&D, whether it's Starfinder, whether it's Shadowrun, whether it's anything else, it doesn't even have to be magical. It could be, you know, any significantly advanced science.
Sure.
It could totally be something that's akin to magic.
Nanomancers.
Yeah. You know, yeah. Technomancers, nanomancers. You get a electron cowboy rolling through. It can still kind of fit the same theme for a wizard guild, mage guild.
Yeah.
So let's talk about what that is.
All right. So I think one of the first things to really realize about a mage guild is, unlike most guilds and most settings, their aim, right, their goal is not immediately apparent. Because the Stonemasons Guild, that's obvious. They control the pricing and the works for who gets paid for doing stonemason work. But a mage's guild could mean anything.
Yeah, it could be. It's not a particular purpose. It's a particular lifestyle choice. It's
kind of, yeah.
I choose to have the lifestyle where I fly and fling fireballs at my enemies.
So when you're making a mage's guild, the first thing you have to figure out is, what's their purpose?
Yeah. And I think purpose is the biggest thing to consider, because that determines whether they're enemies, whether they are something that your player characters can encounter and get sweet loot from, or whether they completely decimate a town and become the major enemies.
Yeah. Are they could be allies, or they could just be a resource.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of different purposes when you're developing your campaign. And so we need to figure out what that is. And we've got a couple actual purposes that we wrote down for this episode. And one of them, of course, and I would say the biggest purpose is, of course, story.
Right.
Story is always, if you guys haven't listened to this podcast enough, we're all about thematics.
Yes. Story first, mechanics when necessary.
Yeah. So there's lots of different story purposes. So one of the first ones is, you could use your Mage Guild as a patron for your characters, or not even for your characters, for NPCs.
Yeah.
They could just be a patron in general, a powerful set of individuals that act and influence society as a whole.
It could even be, you, if you're setting up your campaign where your adventuring group chooses a patron, right? This could be an option for them to work for. It could just be, as previously stated, it could be strictly mechanical. Like, it is the place for players to get spells or components or magic items or...
Magic Mart 101.
Yeah.
You roll in, you grab some stuff, you head back out on your adventure.
Yep.
Now, both of these are perfectly acceptable reasons to throw a Mage Guild in. And I would say that for whatever we have with these, and there's a couple others, make sure it fits the city or the area that they're currently in.
Oh, yeah. You can't have a super, like, a place that's selling Holy Avengers and all top-tier wonderful stuff in some podunk little riverside town. I mean, you could, 8 people.
But it would be kind of weird. But not only that, I would say, you know, when we were talking about city building overall, your pet peeve, you know, nothing exists as an island. There is a reason. Why is your Mage Guild there? Yep. In this particular city, or in this particular, I don't know, on a rocky outcrop, the top of a hill, underwater, surrounded by laser sharks?
Well, you know, realistically,
they always have laser sharks.
If you can't figure out a way to get here, you probably can't afford to shop here.
That's a good point. Yeah, only the most qualified adventurers may shop.
Yeah. And if you can't afford the potions of water breathing to get, you know, at least to deal with the laser sharks,
you don't have enough money.
Yeah.
That's a great way to vet adventurers, actually. I didn't think about that. I'm going to put that in our game next time.
Great.
So, yeah.
Should've kept my mouth shut.
Yeah, well, that's what you get now. So, patrons, mechanical things to get spells and components. And, of course, we mentioned earlier, antagonists.
Yeah.
They make great villains. Shadowy organizations.
Yeah. Or just something.
Overtly organizations.
Yeah.
On top of a lava-filled caldera with a red dragon just kind of chilling.
Or something that the goal is just against the goals that your players have. If you've got a primarily divine group and this organization is trying to push the arcane above deificness, sure.
We'll go with that for tonight.
Then your party is probably not going to appreciate those people.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be direct. It could be indirect. Maybe a good example of that might be they might be hunting for something that the adventurers are after. That's a direct antagonist.
Yeah.
Whereas maybe they're just in the same area hunting for something and they know that adventurers are going to, you know, bust down the tomb and break whatever they're looking for.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to keep them from getting into that because they need to study whatever magical archaeology type thing it is.
Yeah. They could be trying to study the doors.
They could.
And if the adventurers just destroy the door.
150-year-old lore master, man, just studying doors and hinges.
And the barbarian with the great hammer is just like, door in the way.
Barbarian doesn't give a fuck about doors.
Stupid doors.
I don't care how well-crafted they are. Stupid lore master. So antagonists are a great way to throw that in. Additionally, you've got just overall thematics, yeah. Lore for your story. Now, this is something that we've said before. Build a story, and we kind of hinted at it earlier, but build a story around your Mage Guild. Give your players just a taste. Because, as you're well aware, you don't need to build a 40-page book if they're going to roll into town and be like, yep, there's a Mage Guild. Good, I can buy potions. And they don't give a shit about anything else.
Yep. The only thing they're going to care about is the person who's selling the potions.
Correct.
And the rest of that building happens to exist to house these potions I'm buying.
Yes. So, something to think about. Use it to color your world.
You can also use it to provide rationalization for some of the magic in your world.
Oh, like particular magic items or particular spells or even just particular like weirdness like monsters and things.
Yeah.
I would agree with that, yeah.
Because if you've got some custom spells for your homebrew world, where they come from?
Yeah, in particular parts of the story. So window dressing overall would be useful for that. Now, story purposes, we also have purpose within the organization.
Right. So we know what purpose it serves your story, but what is the purpose of the organization? So that's what this part is about. And you've got a group of mages. They're attempting to accomplish something. What is it and why?
Yeah. Do they want to resurrect a fallen god? Do they want to open up some chests and create some research? Do they want to kill the adventurers? Do they want to take over the world? It's always that. Do they want to...
Maybe they just want to be ludicrously rich and they're cornering the market on magic items.
Notorious. That's what it's going to be. They're going to be just notorious wizards.
Yeah.
They want to be bards. They're going to be bards. That's what they want to be. They all want to be bards. So maybe they want something. What do they want? What is the purpose behind it? And there could be more than one.
Sure.
But a lot of times in most of the lore that you will read, there's usually one at least.
Right.
They're not just going to be sitting around, yeah, we're a mage guild, just hanging out. Unless it's a bunch of layabouts.
Yeah, maybe.
Which would be kind of, you know, a bunch of old fogies just kind of drinking some cognac and with a roaring fire and a dead Umberhawk.
They don't even have to be that old. So here's something I'd like you to think about as far as it applies to D&D, right?
Okay.
By the time you've reached sixth level, the amount of money you've pulled in is more than most commoners make in a lifetime. You could literally have a bunch of 25-year-olds in a tavern that they've paid for, that they literally are just, mage guild.
D&D economics has always been whack. You're like, a commoner's never seen a gold piece in his entire lifetime. You may only see one of those every now and then. Adventurers come rolling and balling, making it rain.
They've done a little better than that now because skilled labor is now 2 gold per day and unskilled labor is still 2 silver. So if they work freaking 5 days, they see a gold.
Okay, so that's not that bad.
Second, third edition was ludicrous the way the money worked out.
What you gonna do for this platinum piece? build me my castle. Come on. Yeah, so anyhow, we're getting off track.
We are.
What do they want? As Matt mentioned, cornering the market, that's a great way to interject them into your campaign. Just having a whole bunch of merchant mages.
Yeah. There's
some warlocks making warlock things. There's some sorcerers sexing up things. There's some wizards reading about things. All kinds of things going on.
Just continue a light lantern. There you go. Now you have power in your house.
Yeah.
We have chased back the darkness. Welcome to a new age.
Sorcerers got the charisma, man. That's why they're sexing up things. Just like bards.
I know.
Really are doing all
that. And warlocks.
Do you think the sorcerers would be the wingman for the bard? Or is it the other way around?
I think people talk about sorcerers and bards, but they forget that warlocks are so charismatic that they cut deals with powers way beyond their kin.
That's a good point.
And still are the ones that walk away in the gold with it.
So we should.
I'm just saying. Warlocks that are really getting around.
Sexy warlock guys. Sexy tiefling warlocks.
Yep.
Sexy anything warlocks.
Yeah. I mean, the fact of the matter is sorcerers used to have sexy people further down their line. Now, they're just the product of that. Warlocks are where sorcerers come from. That's my theory.
I like that. That's a good theory. We should definitely start throwing that around a little bit more. I'll take that. So going back to purposes, maybe it's a research co-op where research is freely shared or hoarded jealously.
Yeah, if you're not a member of the co-op.
You don't get no lore.
Yeah, you don't get any of this research. You don't get any of these components.
You got to pay to play.
Yeah.
Maybe they control who has access to particular magic or even particular magic spheres, right? So maybe there's a mage guild that's devoted to just necromancy. You want to raise some dead to do some work or just to scare people or to, you know, for Halloween, then you better join this mage guild.
Yeah, man.
Sorry, I can see is necromancer for Halloween be like, "Happy Halloween, here's the dead will rise." It's your uncle. But why not?
I'm 100% behind necromancer entertainers. There is a Halloween-esque holiday in nearly every setting. There should 100% be entertainer necromancers.
They're drinking with the warlocks, man. That's what they're doing. And that's where stupid monsters comes from. That's straight up where it comes from. There's a bunch of drunk wizards. What else we got?
So we got they could act as a magical police force.
Oh, absolutely.
That's... that exists in a couple of campaign settings already.
If, and this goes with the, if that was true, what else is true? Because if magic exists, then there are going to be people who use magic. And there's going
to have... For good and ill.
For good and ill. And there's going to need to be people to enforce the rules for magic.
Absolutely.
And Forgotten Realms has that.
Yeah.
So you got the War Wizards of Cormyr. And what do they got for... what is it Waterdeep has?
Force Grey.
So, and of course, there's a couple others as well.
And there are wizards just in the Watch in Waterdeep as well.
That's true. Yeah, just wizards just everywhere. Just wizarding up.
And then, you know, you've got your classic wizard guild, your preferred wizard guild.
World Domination.
Yes.
Well, that's my preferred wizard guild or mage guild. We're talking.
We mage guild. It. Yeah. My apologies.
It's okay. It's okay. You could also include things like the finding or hiding of secrets, which is always fun. Lore that was not meant to be known because it'll just warp your mind sufficiently.
Yeah. That's a great one for a Cthulhu mythos game.
Oh, yeah. Or even a Shadowrun game. Imagine a bunch of a mage guild sitting on the astral plane guarding it against people trying to become an initiate because maybe part of the astral is just ripped up and there's all kinds of insect spirits just waiting to infest people.
Yeah. Or, you know, people trying to keep the general populace from learning the ghost dance.
Yeah.
Because imagine what would happen if it became a dance trend.
The magical nuclear warhead that would just vaporize. Yeah, yeah, completely remake the world. Yeah. Speaking of horrors, keeping back Eldritch horror is always fun.
Yep, somebody's got to hold the keys.
Got that secret society that's rocking that lock on the door because some elder god's just ready to bang it down. Let's go break that down because just like the barbarian, the Eldritch Horror doesn't give a shit about doors.
It's true.
Poor lore master. I feel bad for the lore master now. Additionally, you could have mage guilds experimenting on people or other animals or the surrounding countryside and creating all kinds of delightful horrors that your player characters have to fight against. Or maybe they're even caught.
I refer to that particular mage guild as the Alcolytes of the Owlbear.
Mm, yes. The Owlbear Alcolytes.
Yes.
Flesh warpers of all sorts.
Yeah. They're, you know, it's been argued many times that it was a mage that created owlbears. And
Beholder Sharks.
And Beholder Sharks, clearly.
We want a Beholder Shark. Some artist should draw us a Beholder Shark.
Don't ask for a lot.
We don't. We just want a Beholder Shark, guys.
But, yeah. There are going to be people who are like, well, if that dude can make an owlbear, then clearly I can make the most adorable creature on the planet and have like a bunny with butterfly wings or, you know, something of that concept.
Sure. In addition, there could just be planeswalkers too, just a mage guild that's devoted to traveling.
Yeah.
So lots of different things in terms of purpose. For those which don't have an obvious goal, they could have just like a straight up mission statement. And again, you can kind of fill in the gaps in your game world or your storyline and just throw some stuff in that works. So you mentioned police style mages, right? That's a fairly obvious goal. But what about a research goal, right? So if there's a mage guild that's devoted to a particular type of research, what is that particular type of research? Geomancy, just, you know, uncovering the cutest animals that they can flesh warp. What, you know, just and you, all it has to be is a statement. It doesn't have to be much.
Right.
And there's a lot of different options. So we've got what are some of the options that we have?
Well, you've got the religious option. Almost every game that has magic has a deity of magic. Maybe these mages are just attempting to increase the influence of magic in the world.
Mm-hmm. Or they're maybe worshiping a particular deity.
And yeah.
And which could be either cult-like in its nefariousness, or it could be something more divine, trying to better the world. Bring back a fallen god. It's another option, too.
Yeah.
Philanthropy. So developing magics that better the lives, and that was going with your whole mage guild that you were coming off with.
Yep.
You've got the Magical Order of Janitorial Services.
Sure. And the Utopian Society, sir.
Yes.
Just
You've just got, you know,
I'm
what
just trying to put food on everybody's table.
You know what I want to see? I want to see a stonemason slash mage guild that builds roads.
Nice.
In a campaign.
Yeah.
So they do wall of stone.
And just push it over.
And just knock it over. Stone shape and wall of stone. Just all the way down.
Yep. Just the fastest paving crew ever.
Yeah. That'd be great. Think about that. You guys should do that sometime. What else we got?
Recruitment. What if they're just a group of like-minded mages that are recruiting for a future purpose?
Oh, maybe there's a prophecy.
Yeah.
End of the world or a betterment of society or something crazy like that. Maybe this is a great thing for your adventurers to get in, or a side quest. Maybe one of the characters happens to be a mage of some sort and gets recruited by this.
Yeah. Maybe they're attempting to dominate the world and they need some like-minded mages.
It could happen. Maybe they're the chosen one.
Yeah. And lastly, and most obviously,
cash money.
Money.
Yeah. It's cash money. Because, you know, look, you're going to be a group of anything. You want to kind of better yourself. And that's an easy option to throw into a campaign.
Sure. That mage apprentice will never eat gruel again.
No, absolutely
not. No one
not.
Can make them.
So now let's talk a little bit about how they operate.
Sure. That's going to probably swing wildly depending on what the purpose is, right? Because a police guild is going to operate like a police, but a mercantile guild, they may defend their market share legally, i.e. if they are the place for magic services being bought and sold in a city, then they just say, that dude's charging and he's not a member, arrest him.
Or they may
fine him.
Create a simulacrum of the existing councilman to infiltrate the society, charm person people. They could do all kinds of nefarious things as well.
You can do this the easy way or the hard way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Research-based guild might give you shared knowledge, access to spells, components, the cost of sharing, you know, like a library. Of course, they're going to charge for it potentially if you are part of that. So their operations will look very differently than a mercantile operation for a mage guild.
Sure. I mean, they could do something as simple as, oh, you're researching a new spell using our library? No problem. You simply have to leave a copy of your notes here.
Like Candlekeep.
Yep.
Bring a book so you can copy a book.
Yeah.
Or copy notes. They don't even let you take the book.
Oh, no.
How dare they? They might bend it back or something. You'd abuse the novels. That'd be terrible.
That's what Amunisys is for.
That's true. So for like world domination, you might have a public face, and then they might be doing some dickery in the background.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
shadowy type stuff.
Generally speaking, you almost can't start with world domination, right? Because somebody's going to want to put a foot on your throat for giving that a shot.
You could, if you were powerful enough from Jump Street, like take over a small town, take over a, you know, series of towns, take over a region, but
you just have to start with towns that weren't already claimed by somebody.
Correct.
Yeah.
But
frontier town.
Frontier towns would be great. Look at the Arcane Brotherhood.
Yeah.
You know, they pretty much made the rules, or Thay. Thay basically was a coup.
Right.
So you could, and that's a fun way to throw a direct antagonist in a story, but you could also get something for shadowy organizations, you know? The actual kingmakers, not the kings.
Sure.
They've just got a bunch of puppets behind the throne, and they're all Tessari, you know, the worm-like creatures that take over people.
Yeah. They're all lizard people, man.
They're all lizard people. They've got their human masks that they take off at the end of the night with the eyes.
What is that, Starfinder?
No, V. I was thinking V.
Well, sure, but Starfinder has a race of lizard people that can do humanoid faces for limited amounts of time, right?
Oh, do they? Yeah.
I think so.
They probably do. They've got everything. Go play Starfinder, guys. It's great. So there's a lot of different operations that you can mess with. Now, you need to decide what kind of jobs they have, individuals in the organization.
Yeah.
And missions, too. So there might be varying levels of like inner circles and,
sure,
you know, novices and neophytes, initiates, and so on and so forth, whatever you want to call that. And they're not going to do the same thing. So you might, so go into the research gig, you might have a bunch of researchers that when they enter, they shelf books, move books around or clean books or copy stuff.
Repair whereas, books.
Yeah. Whereas maybe the inner circle goes and hunts the dusty tomes in a catacomb for lore or translates, you know, Book of Vile Darkness, yeah, or something like that.
Or they're the ones that are researching where to find these tomes so that they can send our hapless adventurers
someplace
to go get
else.
Them.
Absolutely. So these are some things you need to consider when you're building your mage guild.
Absolutely.
We've got more on mage guilds, but we'll be right back.
After these messages?
This episode is sponsored by...
Hi everyone, I am Gamer Mom Luna. Welcome to another episode of Tales from the Tavern. I have an amazing group of guests with me today, and I... What? Huh. Well, Chad has just informed me that this is actually a pre-recorded podcast ad and not our usual live stream. Since you're here, let me tell you what I'm talking about. Tales from the Tavern is a weekly roundtable discussion that is recorded in front of a live studio audience. Actually, it's a live audience at twitch.tv/shared_experience. Each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, I host a new group of guests where we talk about our experiences with tabletop RPGs and sometimes drift into other nerdy topics like dice, cosplay, video games, and conventions, back when those existed. Chat asks all the questions, so it's a new conversation each week. We can also be found in Ears Edition. We edit our streams for podcast, so if you can't catch us live, you can still enjoy the conversation. You can find us on most podcatchers at Tales from the Tavern Ears Edition. We hope to see you at the tavern soon.
If there are any topics you would like us to cover, goods or services you would like us to review, or if you would like to sponsor an episode, we would love for you to contact us at info@goblinscorner.com.
And we're back.
Welcome back.
Now, we were talking about mage guilds, setting them up, throwing some details for your storyline, and I think it should be important that we should now jump into the scope of your organization.
Absolutely. You know who they are, you know what they're attempting to do, and how they go about it, but how big is the organization?
Yeah, is it three or four guys sitting in a bar plotting world domination? Or is it just a bunch of guys in the local tavern? They're a bunch, you know, I could just see them kind of sitting around. It looks like a Ruby Tuesdays in my head. I don't know why. There's a salad bar.
Sure. I'm with it.
They've got a tankard of ale for some reason.
D20 Modern.
Yeah, it's very D20 Modern. They're, you know, yeah, of course we're a bunch of mages. You never seen them cast one spell, but secretly, they own the entire world, everyone. Every single, all five of these guys.
Yep.
Or is it a large organization?
Except Lewis.
Except, fuck Lewis.
Well, no, Lewis just has no idea what's going on.
Oh, the fifth one?
Yeah, he just joined up and he's like, yeah, man, I drink with these guys on Tuesdays.
Just a layabout wizard.
Yeah.
You know, his whole claim to fame was he could change leaves different colors.
Sure.
That was his only spell he invented.
Hey. Not everybody takes the time to invent spells.
That's a good point. You know, he worked really hard at it. Everybody else is just rocking and rolling, just moving continents and countries and warping reality, but nobody knows. And he's just there for the fried shrimp.
Right. I mean, obviously.
Fried shrimp's delicious. Now, bigger organizations could be corporation style, or it could be literally countries,
yeah,
like a mageocracy.
100%. You could also have a global organization that just has little outposts all over the world. It's not that they've got billions of people working with them. It's just that
they're spread out.
Yeah. They've got an office in Spokane.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, when you got teleport, you can work remotely.
Yeah.
Scry in to work.
Sure, man.
The magical Zoom call.
That's what sending is for.
Everybody hates those meetings. They make a simulacrum to the meeting so that they can go to the beach.
Dude, that's what programmed illusion is for.
Absolutely. I want programmed illusion now. That's great. They could also be multi-world.
Oh, that's true.
Multiverse. You could have, a specific mage guild that's devoted to acquiring knowledge or loot or strange monsters wandering the plains, wrecking things.
Smashing tombs.
Yeah, smashing tombs and grabbing stuff, tossing it in their portable hole, collecting it.
Can you imagine a multi-dimensional group of research mages? Like, they're literally just smashing through the multiverse to collect the most esoteric spell components that you can come across.
I collect slimes, molds, and fungi. A bunch of Egons running through.
Yeah, just, man, anything you find. I've never seen a lava flower before. Toss it in the hole.
Hold monster. That guy right there, that monster appears to have a cold. I will collect that slime from its nose. That'd be fun.
Sure.
We should run. That'd be a fun thing to run, like just a research mage guild's quest where they just send you off on, it'd be like a mission-based thing where they send you off into the multiverse to collect random crap.
Yep.
We're going to do that. Yeah, so. Anyhow, think about how big your mage guild is. This will determine not just the organization overall, but how it's run. So not just like how big it is, how it's organized, but how it's actually organized.
Yeah. Because if you're global, one person is probably not actually running the entire organization.
That's five. Remember, they're sitting at the tavern with the Ruby Tuesdays.
With the salad bar.
Yeah, it's got to have a salad bar, man. If you could have a mage guild with various levels of initiation, circles or what have you.
Yeah.
It could be fiefdoms or whatnot. You know. So what is that power structure behind all of that? And then going into that.
How far does their power extend? If, like I said before, like if you've got outposts, right? Like if you've got an office in Spokane, like what's the sphere of influence of that office?
Have you ever been to Spokane?
No.
Okay. Just curious.
It was just the city that came to mind.
Of course it did.
I don't know. If your tower's there, how far outside of that tower does that influence actually spread? It could just be that people come to the tower when they want something that's inside that sphere of influence, or maybe if it's a mercantile guild that is actually global, you don't do shit in Spokane unless you're a member of the guild.
That's a good point.
So that's something to think about.
Yeah. And who they influence as well. Do they have influence over the entire town, the whole country, the city, and so forth? How many members and how many employees will also be a factor when you consider the scope of your mage guild? And again, that'll go back to the purpose, and it'll go back to the size.
Yeah.
You can have, like, you know, like I said, five guys sitting around. You know, they got a multinational organization. Except for Lewis. He doesn't have a damn clue what's going on. He's just there for the shrimp. But it could just be, you know, a smaller guild.
Yeah.
And going on in terms of how many people are there, what's membership like?
Right. Because in some cases, you got to join, or...
Yeah, it's sometimes it's required. Oh, you possess magical ability. You're joining this, or we're killing you.
Yes.
Or
you're exiled.
Yeah. Or it could be something more akin to you. It's something that you want to get in.
It could be a prestigious thing.
It could, in fact, indeed be a prestigious thing. Is it invite only? Do you have to, you know...
Yeah.
Cut down a mind flare just to get in?
Could
be. Are there dues or obligations that are required? Do you have to pay money? Do you have to pay your soul?
Yeah. Is there a test?
The first dream you ever had?
Yeah. Or a trial? Or some requirement?
So one requirement might be, in terms of like game mechanics, might be level.
Sure.
Or if you're not using levels, if you're using something like, if you're doing like World of Darkness maybe, or Shadowrun or something like that, you could do. Just the...
It could require you to have a certain power or level of power.
Yeah.
You could, for a research guild, maybe you have to bring a new spell with you, right? You got to have something to offer from the outset.
Application of something.
What do you mean?
So you might, you might have to apply a particular spell in a unique way.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different things you could do. What sort of rules are involved within the organization? Maybe you can't step on a cockroach, or maybe there's something, you know, maybe...
No necromancy. We don't do necromancy.
No necromancy, right?
Because the necromancers have their own guild. We've already discussed this.
Yeah, except on Halloween.
Right.
Or it could be something even more standard, like, you know, you just can't have mage duels.
Yeah. You can't... Man, members of the guild can't be out squabbling in the street.
No, that's unseemly.
That's
unprofessional,
right.
Unseemly, and uncalled for.
Yes, you do it in the dueling room where nobody can see it.
Exactly. Go to the danger room.
Fair.
So what rules are involved in staying in the organization? And again, this is really only necessary if you're writing your own game world or your characters are interested in joining.
Right. You don't have to flesh all of this stuff out unless someone gets interest.
Yeah, if they're not interested, just give them the cliff notes.
And if you're going to have rules, then how are infractions handled?
Mm-hmm. And this goes back to, if that was true, what else is true? Because if in a world where you can literally put someone in a mirror for 4,000 years.
Sure.
How do they handle infractions with a bunch of reality warping spellcasters?
They put them in the mirror.
Stick their ass in the mirror. Or maybe they turn them to stone, slay them, turn them into a toad for a couple of years. You know, what are those infractions? Or maybe they just kill them. Or maybe they just, you know, boot them from the guild.
Yeah.
So think about these sort of things because they will influence not just the Mage Guild, but again, this doesn't exist in a vacuum. This is going to be in a society of some sort, you would assume. So
Sure. It
may influence how the rest of the town is, because if you piss a wizard off and the infraction for that from the Mage Guild is to turn you into a frog, then they're going to give everybody a wide berth.
Sure.
If it's only within the Mage Guild, then they may not care, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. In a mageocracy, it's usually best to leave the mages alone.
Yes, I would say so.
So then you've got to think about how do you move up the ladder? Right? How did Lewis get in on this?
Do you have to kill the existing mage that was holding that position? Or maybe, again, maybe it's something like...
Dead men's shoes.
Yeah. Or it could be something like you have to do an arcane thesis or bring something unique back. Or it may just last longer than everybody else.
Yeah. I think Lewis got on the council. He was just chilling with the previous guy, accidentally poisoned him.
Oh.
Like, literally accidentally poisoned him and just kind of lucked into it.
Swapped his...
Yeah, and everybody's like, wow, you actually, you got him to trust you enough that you were able to poison him? That's amazing.
Swapped a sobriety potion with an actual poison?
Yeah.
Accidentally? You know, they
Accidents
look alike.
Happen. Yeah.
Poor Lewis has no clue. He really doesn't. Just there for the shrimp and the company. So speaking of rising up the ladder, that means you're probably going to have henchmen of some sort.
Yeah.
Which means NPCs.
Yep. You've got an organization. Somebody's got to be in it.
So who are these people?
Yeah.
Are they
need some flesh on this skeleton, man?
Or unless your NPCs are skeletons.
Or if it's the Necromancer's Guild. Yeah.
Yeah. In which case, go down there. It's the Necromancer, the magical party city. Grab your paper hat and get ready to party. So who is the person that the player characters might immediately interact with? That's a great NPC to consider when you're building a mage guild.
Either if you've got a merchant mage guild, who's working the counter, right? And if it's a mage guild that they're getting jobs from or what have you.
Who represents them.
Who represents them and who's opening the door?
If it's more of a police style mage guild, who is the, I guess, deputy?
Yeah, the watch sergeant.
Yeah.
What have you?
Wizard, the watch wizard.
Yeah. Or sorcerer.
Watch sorcerer.
I mean, wizard does sound better. But
watch wizard sounds better.
Watch warlock.
Watch warlock. I like that too.
It's the alliteration really that does it.
Yeah, it's the W's. We like to alliterate. Who enforces from within, speaking of which?
Once again, if you've got infractions and you've got
Who wizards the wizards, my friend? That's what I want to know. I just completely derailed your train of thought.
The most wizardliest wizard. What wizards? Wizards.
Yeah, wizard hunters.
Yeah.
So Jim Butcher's series has a really good. They have like specific wizards that, when there's an infraction, they come and basically kill you. They're like mage hunters.
Sure.
Which is kind of cool. And you know, and in a lot of games, they've got other individuals that do that too. This is just, you know, novel. But think about that for your mage guild. It adds a lot of flavor. It also adds kind of a different class of character that could be either direct antagonist or indirect antagonist. Because if the PCs interfere with a mage guild, maybe they come after them.
Yeah. Or if your mage joined a mage guild and they broke a rule,
then maybe they come after them.
And is your paladin really going to let this dude murder your mage?
Oh, so is now you've got a delightful moral quandary that you have to solve. I like this. So this is a lot of fun. This could be something where you could have a lot of different intrigue in a scenario, or you could have something where you might have the mage guild on your character's side, but the enforcement branch of it is against you, or yeah, vice versa, right? That'd be, you're guilty of a crime you didn't commit, maybe.
Could be. Now you've got to prove.
You've got to magic up that A-team van. Get the hell out of Dodge, man.
Who's in charge? That's something you've got to think about. Who is the person or persons at the top? Even if the, even if your PCs are unlikely to meet them.
You want to have a basic idea, just in case, because this could be a boss battle.
Could be.
This could be, I don't know, it could be a cabal of, you know, five or six people. It could be a giant psionic crystal, a mind flare, an elder brain, a, you know, whatever. It could be anything. Big red dragon just sitting in a caldera.
And I mean, end of the day, could be their patron.
It could. That would be another thing. Yes, it could be a patron for your warlock.
Yep.
So think about who runs the show and how their information is disseminated to the lessers. And speaking of like big bads and stuff or people in charge, is there anybody that the players may be warned about or steered towards?
I love the concept. Okay. No matter how much you love your group, when a new person comes in, there's going to be somebody in the group who you're going to be like, he's an asshole, but he's our asshole. Right? Like, friendly warning.
Yeah.
Lobach down the hall does explosive experiments every Thursday. Maybe keep an eye out for that. Right? So,
the gruff motherfucker, but when shit gets real, you want to knock on that person's door.
Yeah.
Because they're ready to roll. They've got the Swiss Army knife of spells and they're ready to blast.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's always a fun thing to throw in for a campaign.
On the other side of that, though, you've got the person you might want to steer somebody towards. So if you're in the research guild and
head librarian,
either head librarian, or let's say you're a poisomancer, you like poison flavored spells, and somebody down the hall has been working on a poison ball for the past 3 weeks, maybe compare notes with that guy.
Yeah. So this is very story themed, because it may not be mechanically themed, but it'd be something fun for your characters to interact with when they've joined this mage guild. Or, again, going on the magic bar thing, maybe they're looking for something specific. They've got a piece of lore to do their quest. They interact with this mage guild, and so now they're steered down aisle 5, poison spells, and they're interacting with the person who's in charge. I kind of see it as, an elderly fellow that, kind of like the Ace Hardware of spells.
Sure.
Oh, you're looking for this right here. Here, this poison spell will kill anybody. It's rot good, you know? That'd be kind of cool to interact with.
If they succeed at their save, Rotgut doesn't kill them, but they are disabled due to intoxication.
I like that as well. We'll make that spell someday. Are there handlers for the mages, tribunals, and so forth? Other different types of people in the organization. And this can apply not just for like handlers and tribunals and stuff, but also, are there enforcers? Are there thieves? Are there specialists of some sort in your mage guild? It's not just a bunch of, you know, people in robes flying about throwing fireballs. I mean, it can be.
Right. But Arcane tricksters are a thing.
Yeah, you could have people devoted to specific things, and that just makes it more complex for you to write. But if you're doing this for flavor, for story, then that makes it more unique and more interesting as well.
I mean, an Eldritch Knight with custom spells could be gross.
That'd be great. I'd love that. Are there apprentices?
You've got an entire guild full of mages or mage-like people. I would assume they're apprentices.
But what level are they?
Right.
And so are they taking just, you know, kids who show aptitude for magic? Are they taking, you know, chummers off the street who apply?
Yeah. If you can't cast Fireball yet, you're not even an apprentice.
Yeah.
So you're still in kindergarten.
May not even be available to go into that. So think about, you know, how exclusive that is. And finally, our favorite NPCs.
Yeah. What about summon creatures?
Yeah, monsters. And not just summon creatures. It could be a whole horde of goblins that they happen to subdue.
Yep.
Or bribe.
Sure.
You bribe goblins.
Sure.
You could have golems, so they're created. You could have summon creatures. And of course, go down the hall and you can talk to all the necromancers.
Right. I mean, you could have made deals with things to work there.
Hmm. That would be interesting as well.
Right. The Quickling, unlimited coffee, unlimited sugar. I'll do whatever you want, man. You need me to deliver messages? I got you.
little face spirit just run around zooming,
yeah, man.
Zooming on coffee and sugar.
Yeah.
That would be awesome. Cool. So hopefully these are a couple of elements that allow you to build a better mage guild for your story, whatever the game happens to be.
Yeah.
Now we've got a couple of examples, so we'll lightning round a few of these. And these are just some I would consider to be archetype mage guilds that we've come up with off the fly.
Yeah. And this first one could go in basically any setting.
Oh, yeah. So a mage school.
Yeah.
So you've got either Hogwarts or you've got, what is it, The Magicians, that terrible show? You've got, it's a terrible show. You know what? It's as bad as it is. I hate watch it and I love it. There's all kinds of media and stories about, you know, wizard schools or mage schools or whatnot.
Yeah. There's so many.
Easy to do. Lots of fun. Lots of intrigue. It could be in any game. Literally any game. Monster Heart could have it.
Yeah.
Monster Heart would be great for Monster Heart.
Oh, that would be neat.
Mage would be great. Any White Wolf stuff. You could do like a vampire high school scenario in
Monster High School.
Yeah. That would be fun.
Or just literally Monster High School for all of World of Darkness.
That would be hilarious. And have like part of the wing be the mage school.
Yeah.
I would love that. That would be fantastic.
Because let's face it, with White Wolf, mages are kind of monsters too.
It's true. A cabal, which is generally dedicated to a specific purpose.
But it doesn't necessarily have to be worship.
Right. It could be just an ideal.
Yeah.
But usually it's some dark fiend from beyond reality.
You could have a summoning group.
Now that's definitely something that is acquiring power.
Yep. Yeah. Or knowledge. Here's something that I love that a lot of people don't necessarily think about. Imps, even though they're just imps, they live forever.
So they acquire a lot of knowledge. They're tiny little imps, but they hear a lot.
And a lot of times, they're the critters that mages summon for little bits of knowledge. Okay, well, every bit of knowledge I give you, I'm picking up knowledge from you while I give it to you. Because the questions you ask are going to tell me what you're interested in. So if I get summoned by Bob over here and they're like, I need to know what he's planning. Oh, well, he was asking me about poison spells yesterday, so I'm thinking he's looking into poison stuff.
Yeah, ask the imp. It could be an entire mage guild devoted to intel by summoning other creatures that can either spy or they just happen to know stuff.
Yep.
Or they could be summoning a dead god.
Sure. Or a live god that's just locked away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, they don't have a barbarian to bust the door down, so that's why.
That's right. Speaking of things that are locked away.
And dead gods.
Yeah. Alkalites to an elder evil.
Yeah, that's definitely worship of some sort. So a little bit more sinister connotations behind this mage guild, but not necessarily. What if it's an alkalite to a good deity or a good patron?
Sure. There's no reason why it can't be.
They're trying to make the world better.
We discussed that in cults.
That's a good point. Good cults. Building a better cult.
And a mage guild could be a cult also. These things are not mutually exclusive.
Oh, yeah. Mix and match this stuff as you see fit. Power behind the throne. Again, good old world domination. There's nothing like a mage guild classic archetype whispering secrets into the king's ear. Little worm tongue action going on.
Sure. It doesn't have to be evil, though. Like, it could literally just be a place that takes in very talented people, trains them to be court wizards, and it's a matter of prestige, right? Like, everybody, every king, every queen wants a court wizard from this place.
That's kind of the mage guilds in The Witcher, which you haven't seen.
Right.
Matt hasn't seen The Witcher, everyone.
I believe you, because you're believable.
It could be, yeah, so it could also apply to Power Behind the Throne as a business.
Sure.
You know, a mage guild literally kind of maintaining stock in magical weapons or technology. And I mean, that's the whole concept of Eberron.
All of
the houses are basically mage guilds. They're houses, but I mean, they all have spells and so forth. So they kind of control the magical technology behind that world. And you could also, and in many ways, the armies also.
Yeah. I mean, for one thing, you can't get around on your feet if your enemies are using elemental galleons.
Sure.
You're going to lose. You're going to get everywhere late.
They're flying around. They've got this giant fire elemental just dazing through the sky. Just crazy.
And you know what
doesn't...
You're
hot-footing it.
You know what doesn't have a range? Wall of stone when you drop it from 1,000 feet.
That's a good point. Yeah. What else we got?
We've got shadow organizations.
Always a fan favorite.
So you've got your group of mages, or if you've got, you know, the guy in charge is sending out groups of mages to influence and manipulate events.
So this is very much like the Power Behind the Throne, but this is definitely on the sly.
Right. The Vazir group, they're there to assist the powers that be. This is there specifically to manipulate.
Yeah, this is definitely a manipulation game here. You've got Magic Mart.
Sure.
Which we've talked ad nauseum about already.
I mean, how can you not love the Magic Mart?
You gotta love the Magic Mart.
But we also have secret heroes. Your Harpers, right? That's a great go-to.
Anybody keeping the darkness back, which is, and by the way, secret heroes could also be acolytes or a power behind the throne or a shadow organization. Like, you can mix and match these as well.
Oh, sure. And then, lastly, you could just have a group that's attempting to set up a magocracy.
Or already have one. So, Thay.
Sure.
And various.
Is they really a guild? No, they're a government. Once you succeed, you become a government. Up until you succeed, you're a guild.
I'll buy that.
Because after that point, you're the ones in charge.
Absolutely. So there you have it. So a couple of ideas for you to make a better mage guild and
bring a little flavor.
Yeah, add a little flavor to your campaigns, whatever that game happens to be. Did we miss something, or you see another option that we might not have thought of? Write to us, info@goblinscorner.com, or you can reach me, eric@goblinscorner.com.
Or me, matt@goblinscorner.com.
We're on all the things, guys. We've got a Facebook Goblins Corner, Twitter Goblins Corner. We've got Instagram, The Goblins Corner, Pinterest Goblin Corner. We're Goblins Corner on YouTube. We're Goblins Corner on Twitch. Am I missing anything?
And every place you find podcasts.
And every place you find the podcast. Hit up goblinscorner.com for all of the links to all of the things. In addition, delightful swag from TeePublic, which you can purchase at your leisure. And Matt is showing us the delightful mug, which happens to be one of the things that we sell.
It's true. And it works well.
Well, it better. It should hold, what is that, coffee?
It normally would be holding coffee. I'm drinking water tonight, but...
Hydration is key too.
Indeed.
That's all the time we have for tonight. Once again, my name is Eric.
And I'm Matt.
We'll see you next time.
Have a good night.
The Goblin's Corner is written and produced by Eric Holden and Matt Staples. Show song by the mighty D20. Don't we love that guy?
Sure.
This is a Subterranean production.